District Judge Chang of the Northern District of Illinois, sitting with us as the third member of our panel this morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Our first case for argument this morning is Global Dairy Solutions against Bumatic. Mr. Butler.
May it please the Court, my name is Brian Butler. I represent Global Dairy Solutions, GDS. The point I wish to make this morning, the only point, is that there is a genuine issue of material fact as to whether Bumatic ever, in the words of the contract, determined a final forecast for a distributor. I'm going to ask the Court to focus on four categories of evidence that show that Bumatic, in fact, did not make such a determination. And those four categories are Bumatic's failure to follow the forecasting provisions of the contract, Bumatic's the forecasting process that Bumatic followed with its other distributors, third, the absence of any reference in the letters of termination to any sales forecast, and finally, Mr. Prieto's declarations. The first category, Bumatic's failure to follow the forecasting provisions of the contract. The argument here is simply that if two parties agree that one is going to set a number and that certain things are going to happen in the setting of that number and the things don't happen, the inference is the number wasn't set. In this contract, certain things were to happen in the setting of the number. There was to be what the contract calls a forecasting process. Both parties were to participate in that forecasting process. At the end of it, Bumatic was to set a number, at least annually, and the contract specifies it to be a reasonable number. Yes.
May I ask, with regard to this forecasting process, was Bumatic required to solicit Global Dairy's input into the forecasting process, or was that at Bumatic's discretion?
I think it was not. I think Bumatic was required. I think that's the most reasonable reading of the language. The language is that the distributor participates when and as requested by Bumatic, not when and if. So I say that the timing and the manner of the distributor's participation, whether it's a face-to-face meeting, a phone call, the provision of data, those are at Bumatic's discretion, but not when and if. That is the most reasonable construction, I suggest, because both these parties have a vital interest in what the forecast is. So why would they agree that one of them gets to decide that the other can't even have any input in it? That's not a sensible construction of what reasonable businessmen would agree to. The contract also says that the number has to be reasonable, and it says that the distributor has to agree with the reasonable forecast. Now, none of this happened here in this case. The inference is Bumatic never did determine a forecast for GDS. I want to add here that, and I'll come back to this in my conclusion, that the contract's unusually protective of the distributor. Often these contracts permit the manufacturer to unilaterally establish a purchase quota, and the distributor has nothing to say about it, and if quota isn't achieved, then the distributor can be terminated. This agreement's different. The second category of evidence is...
In your view, what was the forecast?
There was none.
Well, the contract contemplates that there will be one. It's actually essential in the framework of this contract. So what we've got here is one side saying that the budget that your clients submitted at the outset of this relation is the forecast, and your side saying there's no forecast whatsoever. So there are no goals to meet, and, of course, your client could never be held responsible for not making them. And you asked us to use principles that have a commercial relationship make sense, but it does seem to me that there's a problem, that Your argument is there's no forecast, there's no way of getting rid of an underperforming distributor because there's no such thing as underperforming. And that looks like it makes the contractual relationship make no sense. So why shouldn't one take, as the district court did, why shouldn't one take the budget as the forecast?
Because the budget was offered to the manufacturer before there was any contract. It was not part of the contract.
I understand that, but your client goes to BOMATIC and says, we can achieve these sales. This is why you should appoint us as your distributor. This is economically feasible. We can do this for you. That's why you should appoint us and not just the distributor you had. And they appoint you, and now here you are saying, oh, well, this is just hot air. We aren't actually responsible for meeting any of these goals, which were the things we used to get them to appoint us as a distributor.
Well,
Does that seem commercially reasonable to you?
Yes, absolutely it seems commercially reasonable. All BOMATIC had to do to bind my client to those numbers after the ink was dry was to say, remember those numbers you gave us in May? We've got a contract here, and it's got a pass-fail test in it. You've got to meet a sales forecast that we set. And we're going to use those numbers to set that forecast. Do you agree? If you don't agree now, tell us why not. Okay, we're going to, and then they would come to whatever conclusion they would come to. But they had that opportunity. The fact that they didn't do it, Your Honor, doesn't make this a commercially unreasonable deal. It makes them careless for not having taken advantage of the contract provision that required them to do it.
The other inference, the one the district court drew, is that everybody knew that those things for the first 18 months were the forecast, and we'd worry about the forecasting process after that period.
Yeah, but how do we know that everybody knew that? I mean, what we know is that people can say anything before the ink is dry and do. That's the due diligence. That's the beauty contest.
Counsel, trying to talk over a question does lawyers no good.
Sorry, Your Honor.
The proposition, people can say anything, is generally disapproved. We usually call that attitude fraud.
I didn't finish my sentence. Subject, they can say anything, subject to the rules of fraud and misrepresentation. What they're bound by is what they agree to in writing.
Were you able to develop any evidence during discovery that BOMATIC had, in any other instance, not set a sales forecast?
Had not done it?
Right, with any other distributor.
No. There was no evidence on that one way or the other. The evidence was that, and this is the second category of evidence I want to talk about, is that every November, December, they sat down with their distributors and talked with them about what the forecast should be. And BOMATIC set a number, and Mr. Prieto then took that number and passed it on to another part of the company. That never happened with GDS. We know that. In November or December of 2008 or 2009. But the answer to your question is no. It's also the case that there was no correspondence produced, no internal memoranda to show that, in fact, BOMATIC considered these pre-contractual estimates to be the sales forecast. They weren't following them. They weren't corresponding with GDS saying, you know, that the end of the year is coming up, you haven't made your numbers, you're subject to nothing like that. No mention at all.
There was no mention, but so did you ask for that information in discovery by way of interrogatories or document requests?
Absolutely. And there was a very substantial production of documents by both sides, and there was no such internal communication at BOMATIC or between BOMATIC and GDS. So let me get to my third category of evidence, which is the absence of any reference in the letters. Put yourself in BOMATIC's shoes at the time of the termination. You've decided you want to keep Davies Way as your distributor, you want to get rid of GDS, what's the closest thing to a slam dunk reason you would have to make that happen? It's a failure to achieve a sales forecast, if in fact you had ever given them a sales forecast, because that is good cause per se for termination. So of course, if you want to get rid of them, that's the first and perhaps the only thing you're going to put in your termination notice, if in fact you've ever determined a sales forecast. But it's not there. There's no reference. The inference is they did not ever determine one, because if they had, they would have used it. So,
you're into your rebuttal, you know. You're into your rebuttal. Carry on.
Thank you, Your Honor. But I would like to finish it, if I may. I appreciate that. Those three categories of evidence, the provisions in the contract for how a forecast is to be determined by BOMATIC, what it did with its other distributors, the absence of any reference in the termination letters, those permit a fact finder to infer they just never did it. For whatever reason, Judge Easterbrook, whether it was reasonable or unreasonable, they just never did it. Mr. Prieto says they did. But that's evidence on one. That doesn't mean there's no material issue of fact here. There's what he says, and there are the inferences to the contrary. A jury should decide what happened here. The other thing I want to say about Mr. Prieto's declarations is this: even if they were comprehensive and detailed and a straightforward account of the setting by BOMATIC, the determination by BOMATIC of a sales forecast after the contract was signed, there'd be an issue of fact, but they aren't. All he says in his first one is, I got an email, I sent an email, these numbers came from the other side, from GDS. And in his second, he says, at all relevant times, what does that mean? That's an equivocation. And it's a legalistic equivocation. What are all relevant times? He says these numbers were... There's no simple declarative sentence or series of sentences. After we signed the contract, I told BOMATIC this was their number. I thought it was reasonable. They had to agree to it. And like that. The declarations are suspect on their face. And so the summary judgment deprived my client of the protections that these parties intended it would have with respect to BOMATIC's sales forecast. That's unfair. It was error to grant summary judgment under these circumstances, and the court should reverse. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Hough.
Thank you. May it please the court, I am attorney Brian Howe. I am one of BOMATIC LLC's attorneys. And, Your Honors, I ask that you affirm the summary judgment decision. What this case really involves is the application of a few very clear facts set, or very clear terms set forth in the contract, and some undisputed facts. This is a case in which the district court, is the ultimate trier of fact. There is no right to a jury in this case. There's a provision in the distributorship agreement which says that the distributor hereby waives any right to a jury. So all the discussion about this case needs to go to a jury is not going to. Your Honors, the dealer agreement allowed BOMATIC to terminate the dealership agreement with good cause, and good cause includes a failure to achieve.
Is it your position that what happened down in the court below was a trial?
It wasn't a formal trial, but all of the at summary judgment, the plaintiff is required
I'm not talking about the formality or informality. Did you think there was a trial on contested issues of fact?
I would suggest that all of the relevant evidence from the plaintiff had to have been put forth, because that is the plaintiff's job to set forth to wheel out all of its artillery before the district court.
That's a splendid speech, but it doesn't answer my question. Was there a trial of contested issues of fact by the trial court?
I don't think I can characterize it as a trial, Your Honor.
Well, why go into the bother of the fact that they waived a jury and that therefore the judge could try the case if there wasn't a trial of any kind?
I was just responding to the plaintiff's assertion that...
I wanted you to respond to me. You said the plaintiff in this case had waived a trial, and therefore he doesn't have a beef coming because it was a summary judgment, because that was a resolution of factual situations by the judge.
Correct.
Well, that's a trial.
Your Honor, I would suggest that all of the facts were put forth, the court made a decision, and I'm not sure if that's a formal trial or not, but I think it was all put forth and the judge made a decision, then there's no reason to...
Let me to clarify or try. So you are not taking the position, are you, that if we were to conclude that a reasonable trier of fact could have found against your client that somehow the summary judgment entry was harmless because a trial did in fact take place? That is not your position, right?
I'm not sure if I understood the question.
So if we were to conclude that a reasonable trier of fact could find against your client, okay, could find for Global Dairy, are you arguing that there is still no need to send it back for even a bench trial?
Correct.
So even though the district judge did not hear from live witnesses, you know, and actually hold a bench trial, that's your position?
Well, I guess I would just back up and say I wasn't trying to say that a formal trial took place, but the judge did consider the most relevant facts and circumstances and made a decision based on that, and I think that's something to take into account.
Now, look, there are two kinds of waivers. You've just stepped in a hole, and you need to take your foot out of it. There are two kinds of waivers that might be had. One is a waiver of a jury. The other is a waiver of a right to present live evidence. This contract has a waiver of a right to a jury. It doesn't have a waiver of a right to present live evidence.
Correct.
Just because there isn't going to be a jury trial doesn't mean a judge can decide a case based on the discovery record. Right? So you just need to step back and present what should have been your argument in this case.
I apologize. I was just trying to respond to the issue about whether there was a right to a jury in this case.
Right to a trial, please.
Okay, Your Honors, after 17 months of a distributorship, GDS came nowhere close to its projected sales. Contract provides that failure to achieve the requisite percentage of forecasted sales is good cause for termination. The plaintiffs would have the court believe that they are entitled to be involved in the process of establishing a forecast. That is not written into the agreement. The agreement states that the plaintiff, GDS, can only be involved when and as requested by BOMATIC.
Does it say only, or does it say when and as?
It says when and as.
It doesn't say only when.
Correct.
Wouldn't you think that when and as would imply, would take the position that it's coming?
No. What the clause provided was
when
that
when and as sets a time, but doesn't set a fact. Doesn't set. Maybe not. It's one as.
Right. If BOMATIC were to involve GDS in the process, then GDS would have to comply with the process. But the agreement does not mandate that GDS be involved in the process. There's no language in the agreement which mandates GDS's involvement in the process. Nevertheless, at the outset of the relationship, there certainly was involvement where the district sales manager of BOMATIC met with the owner of GDS and said...
Could you perhaps use real English words? GDS is not a word. Right? Parties often have their idiosyncratic acronyms, but we're generalists. You may live with this all your life. We don't. Global Dairy actually means something.
Okay. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Global Dairy met with BOMATIC, and I'm sorry, there was an exchange of emails between Global Dairy Solutions and BOMATIC, and the district sales manager of BOMATIC told the owner of GDS that it wanted to get of Global Dairy Solutions that it wanted to have a clear understanding of where the parties stood with respect to the dealership agreement, and invited Global Dairy to produce figures, and in response, Global Dairy Solutions produced its sales projections. Global Dairy Solutions came nowhere near those projected sales. The idea that BOMATIC was required to do something further with those projections is not supported by the agreement, because the agreement does not specify exactly what has to take place in terms of the process. It doesn't say anything about what the process entails, and it, other than Global Dairy Solutions shall agree with BOMATIC's reasonable forecast. And that eliminates the opportunity for Global Dairy Solutions to disagree with BOMATIC's reasonable forecast. They had no choice but to agree.
Now, let me ask this question. Mr. Prieto testified that with regard to sales forecasts for distributors, he would forward those forecasts to the internal finance department. Was that done with these budget numbers?
That may not have been done in this case. We don't have a record of that, and so it's. One could reasonably infer from that wasn't done in this particular case.
Okay, and then the other thing, use that BOMATIC made of sales forecasts with its distributors was to check those forecasts against the actual sales, either on a weekly or a monthly basis. That was in Mr. Prieto's deposition as well. Was that done with these budget numbers?
No.
Okay, so... Why aren't those two facts that tend to show, not dispositively, but at least tend to show that, in fact, Mr. Prieto and BOMATIC did not treat those budget numbers as sales forecasts under the agreement?
The process which you just described and the process which Mr. Prieto may have followed in other cases is not required by the agreement.
It's not required. I don't quarrel with that. But my question is simply whether it's relevant evidence that creates a genuine issue as to whether BOMATIC treated those numbers as sales forecasts.
I would say it does not create a genuine issue. Mr. Prieto testified that he considered the projections to be the forecast, and what he did with the forecast is really not relevant to whether he complied with the terms of the contract. And if the issue is whether, in fact, these were forecasts or not, and clearly they were, they even say that they're sales projections, and I don't understand how they can be considered as anything other than forecasts. They were for projections provided to Mr. Prieto. Mr. Prieto said that he considered them forecast. He testified in his deposition that he probably referred to them as forecast throughout the distributorship.
Well, that was after he said, Yes, no, I don't recall, probably. So, you know, it's, you know, the question is, shouldn't a trier fact, whether it be a judge or a jury, you know, get to observe Mr. Prieto under cross-examination because he did testify their sales forecast, but what I'm suggesting is that there's some relevant evidence to show otherwise.
Your Honor, the point, Global Dairy attempted to raise this issue of credibility of Mr. Prieto after the fact, number one. That summary judgment was decided without any issue as to Mr. Prieto's credibility. Number two, the case cited by Global Dairy Solutions, the Boyd case, which talks about whether an unrefuted affidavit should be taken as fact, involves an extreme case where the declarant presented testimony which was utterly implausible. There was no possible way to reconcile the evidence with the declaration. And in that case, this court decided that that it could be considered an issue of fact.
But I guess the district court's discussion of that case is another source of, you know, potential trouble, because the standard isn't whether or not you know, there's other evidence that renders Mr. you know, Prieto's statements, I think the words were overwhelmingly impeached or highly implausible. Right. The question is just, is there a genuine issue on that as to his testimony? So it seems like the district court might have applied too high a standard at this summary judgment stage.
The declaration of Mr. Prieto that he considered those numbers to be the forecast should be sufficient, I would submit to the court, to satisfy the burden of presenting evidence. And I think that this idea of whether or not all of the intricate processes were followed or not is insufficient to create an issue of fact. The point is that the contract says that BOMATIC has the final say, period, on what is the forecast, the final say. And it's made that declaration that this is the forecast, regardless of what it did with it. It could have done whatever it wanted with the forecast. It had the final say, period, and it made that declaration. And to turn around and say, well, no, you can't say it now because you didn't treat it correctly, would not be the correct interpretation.
I'm sorry, when you say declaration, you're not referring to Mr. Prieto's declaration. You're arguing that at the time that the contract was terminated, Mr. Prieto had already set the sales forecast based on the projections.
Mr. Prieto had set the forecast, and he to this day declares it to be the forecast. And at all times, BOMATIC, through Mr. Prieto, has the final determination. Is it a forecast or is it not a forecast? He says it is. And
why bother with it? Why bother with it then? Why not just make the contract based on that? Why go through all the discussion of how you're going to determine and this? Why not just say, this is it, kid? That's the forecast.
That would be correct.
That's the correct interpretation of what happened. Seems like a lot of fault around to get the number you've already determined, if that's the final number anyway, and he doesn't have any say about it, no matter how you slice it.
I would say that Mr. Prieto does have the final say, and this whole idea about the process and everything is actually besides the point, because BOMATIC gets the final say. That was the deal that the parties made.
Okay.
The party said that BOMATIC gets to choose.
Well, at least
you get
to understand your position. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Butler?
First of all, I apologize for the people can say anything before the contract entered. It was an exaggeration to make a point. I did have in mind adding subject to the laws of fraud and misrepresentation. But the point is and remains that there is a difference between pre-contract talk and what people sign on to in writing. BOMATIC does have the final say under the contract as to what the reasonable sales forecast is, but it has to tell the distributor what its determination is. There can't be that the distributor can't agree to BOMATIC's reasonable forecast within the meaning of the contract unless BOMATIC says, here it is, as Judge Bauer said, here it is, kid, this is it. And that was never said. And the reason that's important, one of the reasons that's important, is that as the forecast period comes to an end and the distributor sees, I'm not going to meet this, the distributor has the opportunity to go back to BOMATIC and say, can we talk about, are you going to terminate me? I told you it was too high to begin with. Let's talk about changing it. Or can purchase enough and put it in inventory to meet that purchase quota. My client was never given that opportunity because the forecast was not, in fact, determined. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.